Welcome, everybody, to the Chamber of Her Liquid Secrets. So glad to have you guys aboard. And right now it's about 4:16 or 4:18. Yeah, 4:18 in the morning. So it's past my birthday. It's in March, but I turned 63 on March 6th. So I'm very happy about my age and what I've learned and what I've been learning. Of course, my name is Reverend Elena Yannicello from the Church of the Flying Mermaid Dakinis. Always talking and preaching about her living libations, the goddess's living libations. Libations has to do with a liquid drink that is religious or spiritual, for that matter. And today I thought I would discuss a lot of things that might not be It might be a little difficult for me to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. This is talking about my feministry of talking about the goddess and Mother Earth. All the things that have come to pass. And I'm actually feeling very positive about the future. Why? Because it has gotten so terrible. As far as what they're trying to do to the feminine. And I thought I would talk today, this morning, about what happened to me in regards to a book that I really believe in and feel that every woman and every man that cares about his woman and the fate of being a woman on this earth should read. But in order for me to talk about the book, I kind of have to talk about the past of how I came across this book, what my feelings were at the time as a younger woman reading the book, what my true feelings were, versus what my feelings are now as an older woman who is now 63. Just as a side note, I ran a check numerologically on the number 63. And I find it very interesting that the number 63, numerologically, is the same as the word mermaid and witch. So I guess that makes me a witchy mermaid, I guess. I don't know. I had a lot of problems taking on the power of that word witch. And I think because there's so much terrible connotation of that word, when it actually holds so much immense power for women. But the power at one point was taken away from us because they ended up killing us for that. For a lot of things, actually. But I don't mean to digress, so let's get back to one of the most important books, I think, for a woman to read, and the man that loves her and wants her free is The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. I actually never thought I would be doing a podcast on this book, but I think it's super fucking important at this time in the history. So I'm going to go back quite a number of years. So as you know, my age now, 63, born March 6, 1961. Pisces. But in my very, very, very early 30s, like, I think I was like 30. This is before I met my twin flame. I had a friend, and we used to hang out quite a bit together. We used to actually work out together. And she was my friend for about a good couple of years, maybe a year and a half. And if there's one thing she taught me, because I would ask her, are there any books that you would recommend? And so as a young woman, you know, I just thought it was important to read books, as I still do, even more so now. But anyway, my friend who was way older than me, she was probably, God, she was like well into her 60s at that point in time. And so she directed me to get the book, The Handmaid's Tale. And I'm trying to remember, but I think I got it from the library. And I read the book. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a really fucking depressing book. This is what I was thinking at the time, to be truthful and honest, okay? This is a really fucking depressing ass book. I don't know why the fuck she directed me to read this book, but I wasn't happy, but I finished it anyway. And I thought the whole world that Margaret Atwood painted was so fucking depressing. I was like, I was just at a quandary. Why the fuck did you, you know, why the fuck did you instruct me to get this book and read it? And that's exactly what I was thinking. And you got to remember, I was in my 30-year-old brain, okay? And so that's how I was introduced to the book. And now being 63 and seeing everything that has transpired, okay, transpired as far as women's rights being ripped away from us. And I'm just forewarning people, I'm going to probably be talking very frankly here, and I'm not going to be all love and light and, you know, beauty and, you know, I'm just going to talk the way I feel. I don't care if I say the word fuck or shit or whatever the hell. But at 63, when you're a woman and you've seen all this shit transpire, I'm not going to be talking love and light all the time. I'm going to be talking truth. So if you don't like that kind of talking, I would expect you to probably click off by now, because you're going to probably be getting a whole nother flavor, one that I haven't served up before. But so as a 63-year-old woman, seeing everything transpire, what the fuck they've been trying to do to women, you know, I got really fucking angry. It's like I literally feel like I have a raging fire inside of my belly and my heart when it comes to women's rights. Okay, and so I revisited The Handmaid's Tale from a whole nother perspective, you see. I had a real contrast from when I was 30 to when I was 63. And my God, what a revelation. And an evolution. Coming full circle, you might say, but in a whole different way. I mean, totally opposite from when I was 30. Let me just say this. I recognized that a lot of books. I won't say all of them, but there's quite a number of books that I feel and know that are actually oracles. So I'm going to stop this and I'm going to get some water and I'll be right back. So hold on. Okay, so I'm back. And of course I had to stop it to get some water. So you'll have to excuse me. I've never really done this before. And So you're going to probably hear me drink some water during my podcast. I hope you don't mind. Okay, so here we go. So, let's see. The difference from my mindset from when I was 30 years old reading The Handmaid's Tale to 63 was absolutely earth-shattering, humongous. Okay? Totally opposite from when I read it at 30. Now, did I really reread the book? No, I didn't. What I did is my husband and I talked about it, and we decided to go to the library and get all or some of The Handmaid's Tale series, and within a week to 2 weeks, I think we pretty much watched all of the Handmaid's Tale. And it was so huge and earth-shattering to me as a woman, because I realized at that moment in time, like I discussed a few minutes ago, that there are some books that I feel and know that are written as oracles for the future. But you have to see where the dots line up, you see. If you don't really have that ability or haven't ever tried to have that ability, you're going to probably not see the entirety of it being an oracle for the time. So in other words, this book was written, I don't know exactly when, but probably decades ago. And the whole thing resonates right now with what they've done and what they're trying to do to women's rights. So I can positively say to you listening to this, first I wanted to thank you for being here, that The Handmaid's Tale is an oracle for this time. It's, I feel and know that it's the playbook of the Republicans. So if you go in and read it or see the series, which I highly recommend, okay, you need to really watch and really see and really hear and really experience, okay, what the series is putting out. And if I could recommend something even more is that you read the book and then see the series, because they really go hand in hand together. Okay? It's a very, very well done series. And of course, there's going to be more, which we're waiting for. But my point is, I feel that Margaret Atwood is an oracle for this time, period, for women. I feel the book is way more than just a book. It was put out as a warning for women of where the Republicans are going and where they would like to go. So, they have already been talking, the Republicans have been talking about, there was at least one person, I don't know who it was, this was just the other day, talking about how they really want to take the right to vote away from women. And in Margaret Atwood's book, they have all kinds of things that lead up to women losing their rights and just being baby-making machines. They literally, they're not free at all to do anything but have babies. And so, but leading up to that, where they have it where women can no longer make their own money, they can no longer work and make their own money, which is really going right in line with the Republicans taking away our bodily autonomy and our choice of free will over our own body. And now they're talking about taking away the right to vote that women suffragettes fought and died for. So I'm very passionate about this subject, because if they're going to take away one humongous right, the right for us to have choice over our own body, then what else are they going to take away after that? Way other stuff too. Let's see, the right to vote, the right to own our own homes, the right for our own credit. Let's see, what else? You know? So, this is a lot more than just, let's just take away your body autonomy. And that in and of itself is humongous, which has massive repercussions that we haven't even seen yet in its full entirety, okay? But massive other things go along with it. Let's see, the right to vote, the right to own your own home and put your own name on your own home. A lot of other things go all hand in hand with all of this. Probably things that we have and never even thought about. I mean, could we lose the right to have our own vehicle and be on the roads driving? Well, they're taking away all these other rights, or trying to, and they have already taken away our choice over our own body. And believe you me, other things will follow, you see. That's why I'm trying to tell you, The Handmaid's Tale is the playbook of what they have for women. So, there's not a whole lot of women that I've talked to about this. The one thing I always ask is, well, have you read The Handmaid's Tale? Oh no, I can't read that. It's just too much for me. And I said, well, have you seen the series? Oh no, I can't do that either. It bothers me. Or yeah, it's supposed to bother you. It's supposed to get your brain thinking, you guys. And if there's one thing that I have learned, being able to have a contrast of thinking from a 30-year-old female to a 63-year-old female, and seeing all this shit happen in the world as far as taking away our body autonomy and our choices, okay? When we're young, and sometimes when we're older too, but a lot of times we don't like thinking and looking at things that's disturbing. You know? But if I could tell or reach out to anybody out there, and you don't like what's happening in the world with the whole taking away the woman's rights for body autonomy. Okay? I highly recommend you not only watch the series of The Handmaid's Tale, but please read the book as well. Because, like I said, it's a playbook that the Republicans are using, I feel. Whether it be consciously or subconsciously, who knows? But I would be remiss if I didn't add this one humongous thing, which is in Margaret Atwood's storyline in the series. And I'll be honest with you, I do not, because it's been so many decades since I've actually read the book, I'm pretty sure it's in the book too, but I do not know. Okay? But I'm putting it here as, you could say, a red flag for women. And I know it's something that no one would ever think about. Because it's so fucking horrific. Nobody would ever think in their fucking mind that the Republicans would do this. But because I'm a woman and I'm a rebel with the cause, I'm going to put it out there. When I was watching the series of The Handmaid's Tale, first off, I was trying to watch it like in third person mode, meaning not being completely in my body watching it. I was trying to watch it as a witness, like I was a whole nother person. Because the series was so jarring, I didn't feel like I could really be in my body fully to when I was watching it. I hope that makes sense. Almost kind of like you're not yourself, but you're just the witness witnessing it. But there was one aspect, one of the scenes that was so horrific that really made me think about where they could really be going with this. So there was a scene in The Handmaid's Tale, and this is just a quick overview. It's not going to be going into depth and real detail here. But one of the women, okay, because she didn't do what they wanted her to, they took her in and chopped off her clitoris. Let that sit with you. Could they be headed in that direction? Yeah, I do. But I think because people look at it as so horrific, that their mind probably would have a hard time even going to that scenario because it's so fucking horrifically evil. And we already have genital mutilation in other areas of the earth. And we have genital mutilation of the also the infant boys made normal. So think about it. Wouldn't them taking away our right to vote be, God, do I even want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Couldn't that be a form of genital mutilation to the women, or a harbinger? Like, we're going to take away your right to vote. First, we're going to take away your body autonomy. We're going to take away your choice over your own body. Then we're going to take away your right to vote. We're not going to allow you to work anymore and make your own money. You're not going to be able to get any more. You're not going to be able to get any credit using your name. You know, women didn't get the right for our own credit cards till already 1973. 73, dudes. Okay? So if you're going to cut off the rights to our own body, what else is to follow? Would it be the actual physical representation of that? Is it crazy to assume that it could go to that? I don't think so. And you start hearing Republicans say, oh, we're thinking about making it where women can't vote. Ready? Fuck you! We're gonna keep voting. So, fuck you. And guess what? We're gonna get back our choice of body autonomy. We're not gonna allow you, whomever you may be, to take away our freedoms that we fought for and died for. This is why I say it's so important to find out about the suffragettes. What happened? How did we get here? I feel taking away our choice to our own body is the first step, I believe, in chopping off our clitoris. Think about that. And it's no wonder why women have a fear of wanting to read the book and see the series. You know? Because it puts it in your face. It's not easy. It's not fun. It's not relaxing to sit back and watch this shit on a series. And then tune into the real supposed world, going to the news and seeing all this shit that they're trying to do. So is losing, here's a good question, something for us to just ponder. Is losing our right to make our own choices with our own body, a precursor and harbinger of something way more evil, even than that, and even worse? I say yes, of course. Of course. You know, I read something really interesting quite a number of years ago about the witches and what they did to us. And I remember reading a section of a book where the man looked at the woman's clitoris and said that that was the devil's teat. So my question is, where is this all heading? You know, if you're going to take away the woman's choice over her own body, what else are you going to take away? It's obviously not going to be anything good. It's not going to be anything positive for the female. I do think that there is an evil permeating a group of people, whomever they be, whomever they are, where all they want is power over women's bodies, and they want to be able to tell us what's good for us and what's not good for us, dictate where we go, what we do, dictate about, you're making too much money here, let's take that away too. And by the way, let's chop off your clitoris if you're bad. Okay? Am I crazy in thinking this? Well, usually in a society, when you have a lot of things happening, a lot of red flags, usually they end up somewhere, and it's usually not in a good place. So, this is why I decided to make this podcast tonight, talking about where I feel that they have wanted to take things, which is not going to happen. If you care at all about your own body, if you care at all about being able to make your own choices for yourself of what's good for you in your own body to keep yourself safe, if you're a woman who's progressive and you you want to be able to make your own money, put your name on your own property, leave a legacy to whomever or whatever, if you value your anatomy, you value your reproductive system, your clitoris, your breasts, whatever, then I feel we should vote for the party that gives us choice and is here to be progressive, and not to turn us back into something evil like The Handmaid's Tale. Because women, as women, I think they're scared because they know we're here to change everything for the betterment of society, for the betterment of Mother Earth. And there are powers that don't want us to do that. And they're willing to take away our body autonomy. Let's see, chop off our clitoris if we've been bad little girls and we didn't do what the fuck they wanted. And whatever else. We're here to make a change. And no thing is going to take that away from us. We don't like the way things have been managed here on Mother Earth. It was completely done, everything was done backwards to the way it's supposed to be. And this is why we are at this moment in time, I feel. Because everything was run backwards. Exactly. Because I do feel that women are supposed to be the natural leaders of Mother Earth. Period. And money, power, everything is changing over to the woman and to love and to all the men that actually really love us and want to see us be the bright shining lights that we know we were here to be and are here to be. So yeah, we are rebels with the cause now. No more just rebels floating around. We don't really know what we're here to do. The red flags have been in front of us for quite a number of years. And as an older woman now, just turning 63, with the power of the mermaid and the witch in my pocket, having the contrast in my own life of what I felt the book was about in my very early 30s, till now, is a total different contrast. It was shown to me of what was taken away. And it's quite another thing to grow up, okay, with the choice, and then have it taken away. That's another contrast. So, once again, if you value your life and your body as a female, if you're a male that loves women and wants to see them arise and burst and bust out of the box that we've been put in, and you know that we're here to create a better life for everyone and everything, I would counsel you on talking to your wife, your girlfriend, or whomever, in watching the series of The Handmaid's Tale with her. I would counsel her on reading the book because it really puts a light on what is happening at this point in time and what they've tried to do. And by the way, let's throw racism and fascism and all this other shit in there too while we're at it.
Let's just throw in the whole kitchen sink. Okay? It's not enough we're going to take away the woman's choice. Oh, no. Let's throw racism in there, fascism, and all this other shit. That's just, yeah. The most evil, vile things. You know. We were not supposed to live this way. Things were not supposed to be like this. Okay? People are supposed to actually care and love one another as family. In other words, you're supposed to care when you see people, you know, that are homeless out on the street. You're supposed to actually care about that. But I do feel like I told some of my women friends about a year or so ago. Really, I feel that this is a humongous cosmic flush. I think spirit has given people all kinds of chances to be on the correct side of herstory. Because spirit wants as many people on the right side of love. To turn everything over to a positive vibration. The way it was supposed to be, you see? Women are the leaders. Why? Because we're female. And the earth is female. It's really simple. So, I wanted to thank all of you for listening to me tonight. I really hope you get the book. I really hope you see the series and that you can see the correlation that I'm talking about. Do you think it's way too outlandish for me to say, gee, you know, if they're going to pass all this other shit, I mean, where's this going? First, let's see, no choice on what we do with our bodies. Then what? Then what? Because it's certainly not going to stop there. So, you might think I'm being outlandish talking about the genital mutilation of the clitoris in the series. But after what I've been seeing and hearing, who's to say it's outlandish? I think it served as a red flag for women. The whole series and the book. So, I want to thank you for being here tonight. This is a different talk tonight. I usually don't do talks like this, but I'll probably be talking a lot more about this because I think it needs to be talked about. I really do. So, with that, I wanted to thank you for joining me tonight on this podcast. About keeping our genitals intact. and along with everything else intact as well, our own choices for our own body. Being able to make as much money as we want or desire should be in abundance. And as leaders, we have the right and we deserve to have our full abundance. So we can abundantly give and bloom a better society, a more loving society where people are valued and honored and the word sacred. The word sacred. Being bloomed in everybody's heart instead of the word scared, which is the same letters, just put differently. The last little bit of information I'll give tonight about the word scared and sacred. It's very interesting, because if you look at the word scared, it's scar red, red scar. And sacred is sack red, meaning the red sack. So part of the teaching tonight will be, it was never supposed to be about the red scar. The red scar is a gash on the flesh, passed down, trying to make us scared, you see. It was never meant to be that way. But they invested their money and their time. And their mind into creating a world and being scared. When it was supposed to be a red sack. What's a red sack? Well, it's sacred. The sack is red, passed down through the matrilineal lineage. And within the red sack are the jewels of all the ancient ancestors that's within your DNA, you see. Those jewels can be lived and breathed into your body. The experience of your ancestors, all the information getting passed down into your heart and blood. It was supposed to be sacred, you see, not scared. The red scar
was invested in. And now the red sack is going to be invested in. Totally different, totally opposite, where everybody knows that they're sacred. And they're going to know it within their heart and their soul. There's no stopping it. People think that they can stop it. But that just gathers the momentum even more deeply by trying to stop it. The red sack, made of red velvet, you see, with gems from other worlds inside, multidimensionality, where a nested set of grandmothers and mothers, all nested inside one another, all the way through down to the ancients of where it all began. This is what's coming, you see, inside of all of our hearts, because we are all nested and we're all interrelated. We just never really knew it, but we will know it, and we are knowing it, and we are feeling it. Tonight, I want to welcome you into something that's way bigger than you. It's ancient. And it's ours, and no one can take it from us. No one. So, as I close out this podcast tonight, realizing that so much money and so much time and so much effort has been poured into the red scar. Realizing that it's all going to be poured back into the red sack. It's all changing directions and hands into the beautiful, loving, kind, wise leaders that are the women and the men that hold the torch for the woman, you see. Well, and of course we've got the women that are holding the torch too, for themselves and for other women. But this was all a beautiful dance that had to be realized at a certain point in time, you see. We all had to realize it together. I wanted to thank you all for being here tonight and listening to me and my recommendation. So I wanted to thank you. Have a great night. Bye for now.
Love you. Bye.